And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, it feels like I just saw you and that I just saw Ian Safar. How we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, doing awesome. So awesome. Good fantasy draft last night. We had a lot of no-shows,
We did.
including
It's
Kaharski.
disappointing.
Very disappointing. But Justin, Matt, Kyle, me, you, and Ian, we had fun.
We did. We had fun.
Kaharski's team sucks, I think.
Looked at the looked at the clock and it was like 6:58. And I was like, where's Kaharski? What's going on around here? I guess he's asleep. And he finally woke up. So I'm still operating under the premise, Joe, that was payback for you for not participating in the Titans Media League draft, is what that was.
Yeah, he claimed, he had a cold and he was all wrapped up and stuff on the couch, but I hope that's not what it is, man. That's very petty and robbed, the good people at Twin Peaks of, some public humiliation at Kaharski, which
Yeah.
is definitely planned,
It's
but it
true.
never got to take place.
I just want to point out, because we know, Joe, that you can base the entire fantasy football season on this fact. Top two teams projected most points this week. Kuharski, me. Have some of that.
Ooh, okay.
Have some of that. We'll see how it goes. Ian Safar, how
Well,
we doing?
you know how often that turns out to be right.
Yeah,
All
it's
I know is
great.
I play Kaharski this week, so.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Ian, how we doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it was awesome to get out last night for a little bit, do the draft, meet some listeners, Matt Fairview, big My Morning Jacket fan, so that was cool. Kyle, Shelbyville, the defending champ, back again. Justin sat across from him, super nice guy. So that was fun. It was a lot of fun to hang out, do that. Felt okay about my team. Went running back. Gibbs and Chase Brown. We'll see. A little bit light on
Nice.
The receivers, but yeah, overall, great time.
Well, it's football season. We're going to get into the Cowboys and the Eagles coming up here in just a second. Joe, I do want to start on the NFL red zone front. NFL fans are mad. So apparently Scott Hansen, who has been the host of NFL Red Zone, was on the McAfee show yesterday and started talking about how there are going to be some, actual commercials on the NFL Red Zone broadcast now. And he claims that, they're not going to miss a touchdown and they got some say as to when they go to commercial break and that they're going to be really selective about when they do it and all these other things. But boy, has this made people mad, Joe, that the NFL Red Zone apparently is now going to have commercials. And we talked about, the ESPN getting them and ESPN insists it's not their fault and all this other stuff. But boy, there are people mad about NFL Red Zone right on the eve of our first NFL Sunday coming up this weekend.
Yeah, well, I don't blame them. I mean, one of the great things about Red Zone is that it's just continuous. And I, there are gaps in there, but I mean, I think you're going to miss some stuff. I don't know how. And plus, I mean, if you're going to try to do this and dance around things, you're going to like sneak one commercial in here. If you're going to do actual commercial breaks, you're going to miss things.
Yes.
It's not going to be a good NFL red zone. And yeah, like I think that's one of the cool things about it is that you can, there's always something. There's always something close with that many games on. So I think it sucks. I think it's funny because people wanted to jump to blame ESPN. I actually do. I think this is the NFL saying, you know what, maybe with the switch ESPN, we can just like do this now and people will blame them.
Yeah.
Awful announcing. Did you see their story?
No.
Well, they had the headline was something like the headline was like, I mean, I could find it, but I'll paraphrase. It was like, here's how much the switch to ESPN has to do with Red Zone having commercials, and the whole story is nothing.
It's pretty good.
Right. Is it like to me, it seems like an underhanded little NFL thing. Like, yeah, well, let's try it this year. All these changes, and maybe, we'll escape a little blame.
It's pretty good. So apparently, Scott Hansen used to get on there and say, "Hey, 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now." And now I guess he's just gonna say something to the effect of, "Hey, 7 hours of red zone football starting now. Can't do the commercial-free anymore."
So you're still
Commercial
going to have to
light.
pay extra and have the commercials? Red Zone was like an extra fee to be
Yeah,
added separately.
that's correct. That sounds like that's going to be the case. Yeah,
Ridiculous.
like personally, I stopped doing Red Zone a few years ago. Not that I don't like it, but it's just kind of like I don't know. Like to me, it's like if you have now, some people just do Red Zone too, and that's a totally different
I
thing. And
can't understand that, but
that's a
yeah.
fantasy football thing, right? But yeah, like to me, it's like if you have the ticket, there's like just rotating yourself around games is enough. So I didn't really use it. But I know some people just love that stuff, and yeah, I think
Yeah,
it violates the spirit.
last year was the first year I haven't had Red Zone in a while. Just like, scaling back on some things.
Yeah.
And you just find yourself more online, on social, on your phone, just trying to keep up with it and watch the highlight plays that way. It's not as much fun, but I guess gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a huge red zone guy. But I always like to just sit down and watch whatever game I'm watching, and I'll flip back and forth every now and then. But yeah, I'm interested to see how this goes because boy, they made people mad, and not even really dropping this until like 4 days before the first NFL Sunday. So, whoo, made some people mad yesterday with that one, Joe.
Yeah, it's just like hate to like complain all the time, but it just the trend is just sort of like whatever like viewers, fans, spectators, whatever don't want or don't want, it kind of becomes irrelevant, So and it's but hey, I mean the NFL, I mean they need money, man. I mean the
That's true.
NFL's struggling, so you gotta understand, I guess.
Yeah, I
$11
mean,
billion a year in media rights fees just isn't enough.
the two things, two entities that we know need money, the NFL and Alabama football. That's what we've learned last couple of days here on the show. Alabama football and the NFL need as much money as they can possibly get.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Maybe some of this revenue from these commercials can be diverted to, I mean, they've supplied the NFL with half their players
That's
over
true.
the last 20 years. So, maybe they can help them out a little bit.
Maybe so. We got
Struggling, man.
the Eagles and the Cowboys coming up tonight. And the Eagles, an 8.5 point favorite out there tonight. So a heavy favorite for the reigning Super Bowl champs. It's the first look at Dallas without Micah Parsons out there tonight. You've got George Pickens that's in the fold. A new look Dallas Cowboys team. I have no idea what they're going to be. My guess is not very good, but we'll see. I mean, I still look at them and I'm like, well, they got Dak, who's okay. They got CeeDee Lamb, who's pretty good. They got George Pickens, who's very talented. I have no idea what fit he's going to be. And then I look at their defense and I'm like, boy, Micah Parsons, that's a big loss for Dallas. But I am interested to see how it goes tonight, how Philadelphia handles things coming off the Super Bowl championship and trying to go for a repeat as that begins tonight, but the NFL season upon us with a nice NFC East rivalry tonight, Joe.
Yeah, like I'm really happy for you with Micah Parsons. That's great. It was a huge news item and, kind of fun to make fun of Jerry Jones. But man, we usually get like a game that looks awesome on opening night. I don't know that it even would have with Parsons, signing and everything being okay, but like at least, man, I'd give him a much better chance. I mean, this is it's sort of an underwhelming opener. Hopefully it's better than I anticipate, but it's kind of underwhelming going into it. Tomorrow is, tomorrow with Chiefs Chargers in Brazil. I know your favorite place for football to take place. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, hopefully the field, you can play on it. That'd be good. Hopefully they figure that out this year where you can actually play football on that field and not everybody's falling down and getting hurt all over the place. That'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, you would hope that they would have figured. I mean, like, if the NFL didn't go nuts about that a year ago and make sure, like, there's no way, right, that that's going to be a recurring problem.
I don't think so. But I mean, you should have seen that field last year. Like
I remember.
it's crazy. It's just awful. So I mean, I would hope that they have fixed that problem. Otherwise, like if I'm the, it's too late now, but I'd be like, screw that. We're not going down here. We'll go play this game in Smyrna, Tennessee. I'm not going to Brazil to play this game.
Smyrna Field, that's pretty good turf, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, shout
I
out to
can
Smyrna.
attest. There you go.
Hey, Smyrna got a shout out the other day on the Vols broadcast. It's like Arion Carter from Smyrna, Tennessee. All right.
You know, we haven't talked about that, by the way. So did you listen to a lot of Mike Keith in his
I did.
debut? Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of bounced back and forth 'cause I was doing some stuff, but yeah. It's still kind of weird, but I enjoyed
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, he still got the, which is good. But yeah, it's going to take a little getting used to. I assume Vols fans overall were pretty thrilled with it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will say Bob Kessling was catching some strays on Saturday. I was like, ease up on Bob, guys. Just ease up on Bob.
Saying focus on Joey and Mike. Don't need to throw shade at Nico and Bob, okay?
Everybody ease up on Bob. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. And it is time for us to make our official Titans season predictions. Myself, Ian, Joe, all giving our predictions for the Tennessee Titans coming up next. We will do that. We will take your thoughts, your predictions as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. This Saturday, the MTSU Blue Raiders back in action, taking on Wisconsin. Kickoff at 3 o'clock, and you can catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. We've already got people calling for it, Joe. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. And Ultra BMW says, I remember Ian last year saying that the Titans would win four games, and he just about nailed it. I mean, just about was all over it. Probably the closest person in the entire city here. So we are going to give our official Titans predictions for this season now. So I guess with that in mind, Ian, do you need to go first just because you are the reigning champion when it comes to this?
I mean, I'll go first if you want. It's up to you. I don't
Okay. All
care.
right. You go right ahead. You go first.
Okay. It's tough. I do think they're going to be better than last year. You know, they have to be with the quarterback change. It'll look better. I don't know how much better, but I'm going to go. I don't know how are we going to break this down game by game. I don't. I was just going 5 wins is what I'm going with.
You want 5 wins?
Yeah.
Five, the official
I think five
expectation.
is what I'm going with. Yeah. They might get to six. I could see six in there, squeeze an extra. But I'm in the 5 to 6 range. Yeah.
Okay, so going 5 wins from Ian Safar this year for the Tennessee Titans, a 5-12 record. Joe Rexroad, your official expectation for the Tennessee Titans this year?
Well, I'm going to go through the games because I might change my mind. I mean, I've done this
Oh,
a couple
okay. All
times,
right.
but
All right.
I mean, the new information maybe pops into your head as you look at first game. Let's see, 0-1, 0-2. Okay, I got them beating the Colts. That would be losing the Rams. I got them beating the Colts. Losing the Texans, that's 1-3. Losing the Cardinals, that's 1-4. Man, losing at the Raiders, that's 1-5. Okay, check this out. Beating the Patriots at home,
Oh
2-5.
boy. Oh
Oh
boy.
boy. Losing at the Colts, 2-6. Beating the Chargers, 3-6. Losing to the Texans, 3-7. Losing to the three Seahawks, 3-8. Beating the Jaguars at home, 4-8. I got them winning it at Cleveland. So there's 5-8. Losing at the Niners, 5-9. Losing to the Chiefs, 5-10. I got them beating the Saints at home. That's 6-10. Going into the last game, I give the Jags a split. I mean, they're very similar teams. So give me 6-11.
Okay. I want Titans fans to really just protect themselves for the first part of the schedule that I'm about to go through here, okay? At Denver, at LA, 0-2. I will give them Indianapolis to get them to 1-2. That's the last win they're going to see for a while. 1-3, it's Houston. 1-4, Arizona. They lose to Vegas on the road, 1-5. They lose to Vrabel at home, 1-6. They lose in Indianapolis, 1-7. They lose at home to the Chargers, 1-8. They lose at home to the Texans, 1-9. They lose at home to Seattle, 1-10.
My
I got them
goodness.
beating Jacksonville in the second or in the first matchup, 2-10. I have them beating Cleveland. That's two wins in a row, 3-10. Losing to San Francisco and Kansas City, 3-12. And then I've got them beating New Orleans and Jacksonville at the end of the year for a 4-13, or say, excuse me, 5-12 record. So at five, I'm with Ian, five. I think their first part of the schedule is just bad for them. I really do. Like, they're just because, and look, it's the NFL. So inevitably, they're probably going to beat somebody on this schedule that they have no business beating and lose to like New Orleans or something at the end of the year because that's how the NFL works. But I really do not at all like the first part of the schedule for the Tennessee Titans. I think we could see a lot of losses pile up in a hurry. I don't really envy Brian Callahan and the scenario that he could find himself in by the time that New England game rolls around. And I know we've joked about that. I'm kind of not joking. The more I look at the schedule about how bad that can end up being and the situation that he could be in there, I just don't think this first part of the year is very friendly to them at all.
Yeah, I mean, if they're 1-10, oh my goodness, then again, it's always how what kind of 1-10, what's it look like, or what's Cam Ward most importantly look like? But if they're 1-10, that could be possibly a coaching decision before the season ends. I mean, I don't think that they should look at it that way, but you have to allow for the possibility. Jeff from Nebraska says, I have no prediction, but the season will be successful if we're not already talking about the draft in November. How fun would it be to have a meaningful game in November, December/December again? Robbie has no meaningful games in November,
Yeah, there
December.
will be
I don't know
not
that
no
any of
meaningful
us,
games.
I don't know that any of us really do, but it's like, I mean, you can be, if you're, 5-9, you're still like on the fringe at that point, something like that.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, their bye week is week 10. And I think their schedule before that is really hard. But if they win, I don't know, three, four games by their bye week, by week 10, I mean, most of their winnable games come toward the back part of their schedule, right? Like, you've got Jacksonville twice. You've got a New Orleans team that could be awful. You got a Browns team that could be awful, right? Like, most of their winnable games are at the end of the year, which I guess you could view as a good thing because it's, winnable games late in the season. I'd rather spread them out a little bit so you could get a little confidence in the early part of the season. That's just me. But I also think, like, if you can win three or four games by the time their bye week comes around, I mean, you could end up with like eight wins just based on where their schedule falls and who's going to be on it and how bad I think some of these teams might be, particularly Cleveland and New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, if I was the Titans, I would, and I got a vote, if I had like the NFL in my pocket like the Bills do, I would just flip-flop it. I mean, to me, like, to like a team like this, young quarterback, I don't know if it's a young enough team, but yeah, a lot of young guys, new guys getting big roles, like you need confidence builders early.
Yeah.
And then you can spring some surprises maybe late when you're actually playing for something important and some of the other teams aren't. But yeah, I think the way the schedule is ordered is brutal for them. Chris asking, or don't they have the third? Yeah,
Well,
I
I'm
think,
sure they do because it's
yeah.
the fourth place schedule and you've got like the AFC South as your division. So yeah, I mean they've got an easy schedule. Problem is they're a bad team, right? And
Exactly.
I'm looking at these games like I don't think that at Arizona or at the Raiders are unwinnable games for the Titans, right?
No.
But like that you're also traveling on the road and it's not like those two teams are completely devoid of talent. Like I'm trying to think about them trying to cover Brock Bowers right now in the Raiders, and I don't know if that's going to go very well for them. So like none of those games, like I mean, look, they beat Houston on the road last year. Is Houston an unwinnable game? No. But my guess is they're probably going to be picked to lose every one of those games, with the possible exception of at home against Indianapolis in week three. That's my guess.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah. ESPN has been 29th here, so fourth easiest schedule. But when you're that bad, when you get a schedule like that, it usually means that you're still probably going to be the underdog in most of your games, and they will be.
Well, and we got people talking about if they've won one game by the time the New England game rolls around, and then they lose that one, that Callahan's going to get fired. He might. Like, I'm certainly not going to sit here and discount that possibility based on the way that things have gone around here. But to me, I'm looking at this, Joe. There's one game to me that is completely crucial early in the year. Like, I said it yesterday on the show. I don't think the Denver game is going to go very well for them on Sunday. I think it's a horrible matchup. I don't think it's much better the next week against LA. I don't think it's a very good matchup. They really need to win the Indy game in week three, like, to avoid starting, in my opinion, 0-3, and maybe seeing if you could drum up some momentum. Like, they the week three game against Indy is a crucial game for this Titans team in my mind.
Oh, no question. But look, even for me, and I agree, like, the Rams are good. I think they're going to be very good this year. I still think that game compared to this first game is still, at home. You don't know. Cam Ward, his debut at home, and them coming from the West Coast. I mean, I could buy that one still as a possibility, and a lot of these as possibilities. Whereas week one, it's hard for me to get there.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If we're at the New England game or the second Colts game, or they go back to Indian they go to Indianapolis late October, and then they're done with the Colts after that. If we're talking about a Titans team that by the time that second Colts game is done, that has won like four football games, I would sign up for that right now if I'm a Titans fan, and I would be ecstatic about it. Like, I would be like, oh my goodness, yes. Because then you look at the rest of the schedule, and they still have Jacksonville twice. They got Cleveland. They got New Orleans. Like, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. If by the end of October you've got four wins, like, people, I think, hear me read off what I just did and have them at 1-9 or 1-10 and think, how in the world could that possibly happen? I'm just telling you, man. Like, if you're of the belief that the Titans are going to end up with like 5 or 6 wins this year, my guess is if you look at the schedule, you're going to feel like most of them are coming toward the end.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, if they had, like you said four at the end of October. Oh my, I mean, they would actually be, like, to Jeff's point there, they would be playing relevant football games certainly in November. And again, like, I like Seattle this year, but I mean, Seattle's not some unwinnable game here. Again, I don't think New England is some unwinnable, or the Chargers. There's a lot of games that, like, what's actually unwinnable? I mean, I guess I'd put Denver and the Rams. I mean, I don't think the Rams are unwinnable, but if you had to pick a category,
Yeah.
those two at Houston, Kansas City. I mean, they're only like a handful of games where it's like, forget about it.
I would throw San Francisco in there. I think it's a horrible matchup for them too. Like, it's just,
On the road, yeah,
yeah, I
not
don't think it's
great.
gonna go well. Like, it just, but to your point, it's the NFL, right? Like, it's not like this is Alabama and A&M going out and taking on Georgia. Like, it's the NFL. So they're going to have chances to win these games. And particularly, like, if Cam Ward's really good, we could be having a completely different conversation by the time like Arizona comes around. Like, Titans may end up being a touchdown favorite on the road at Arizona because Arizona's bad and Cam Ward's been really good to begin the year. But on the surface of what I think is the weakness of this football team right now, which is the inability to get after the quarterback and a lack of threats on offense in my mind, that's not a very good combination for the first part of their schedule. So Joe's got them with 6 wins. Ian and I have got them at 5. Where do you have the Titans this year? We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Do you have any specific goals you've set for yourself as a rookie this season?
Win a lot of football games. Last year we were the worst team in the league. This year we're trying to flip that around. So my goal is to win games. I think winning take care of everything.
That's Cam Ward. You heard it straight from him. The goal to win games this year and win a lot of them. We'll see if the Titans are equipped to do that. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team take on Korea Republic at Geodis Park coming up on Tuesday, September the 9th. Be caller number two. Caller number two, 615-737-1025. You'll win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national teams take on Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September the 9th. Joe, a lot of reaction to our Titans predictions on the text line. We have some Colts fans, apparently, that are mad at us about how in the world could we possibly pick the Titans to win one game of the two against the Colts.
I know. I love this from Jordan. Jordan from Franklin. He just doesn't understand. How is that a win? And also, y'all haven't beat the Colts at home in years. And as I wrote back, yes, that's a two-game winning streak for the Colts. Two in a row. So, yeah, years and years. Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up. I mean, when they both play both places, to me, it's a toss-up. But, I mean, agree. Like, not understanding how you'd pick either team in that game is hard to understand.
Oh, and I don't, I don't much remember last year's Colts game. I believe that's the game where, like, L'Jarius Sneed got hurt. So, I guess I remember that part of it. But I do remember the one a couple years ago when they got Ryan Stonehouse killed out there. Definitely remember that one.
That was a real beaut. There's some optimism. There's some optimism out there, which I'm glad to see. Like, you want to see some optimism. Mike says the offensive line just does a half job better. Cam Ward's number one pick. Wins you three games just by sheer talent. And then special teams. That's a long text. But anyway, six wins right now. And I'll bet money Denver and Kansas City are in that six. Okay, that's a weird take. But you know what?
We're here for all of them.
Yeah. So that you got to be the only person who's got them with six, but one of them is for sure Denver, and also both of those AFC West teams. Look, there is some optimism. There's also the texter who is excited, just like, you know what, I guess we can just draft high and get Jeremiah Smith. And it's like, yeah, man, he's not going to be in the next draft. He's going to be in the 2027 draft. Yeah, I'm sorry. Very sorry for you.
It is a tough one.
Yeah, don't worry. At some point, you can worry about I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with Jeremiah for Jeremiah, but I'm coming up empty right now.
Yeah, just work on that. Got a long time to work on it. Long time to work on it.
Too much starch for Arch.
Nice. Brian says, my prediction for the season, if Callahan makes it all the way through, is 2-15. There's no hope with this guy. Josh says, the Titans get 8 or 9 wins this year. I want to believe in Cam Ward and the good things can happen. And Liam, one of my favorites, says, we're due for a surprise to the upside. I'm expecting the worst, but I can't help but think maybe some good things can happen too. This from Liam on the text line.
That's sunshiny. That's good. We do want to answer LD, who's asking about the pregame. So Chasing Big Joe, we believe.
I believe Chasing Big Joe are this Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday. So there you go. There you go, LD.
I think D Mace is doing home games. So D Mace will be on there doing home games. And then I'll have Chris Sanders coming in throughout all of it as well.
Okay. So there you go. I didn't know that either. It's a good question.
Yeah. So I believe that is the plan as of the moment. So I think you'll see Chase and Big Joe doing the pregame show coming up on Sunday. Yeah, like I had a buddy text me on my personal text line as I was rolling through my prediction. And I think he texted me when I got to like 1-10. He was like, oh my God, what are you doing? I was like, look, man, I'm just calling it how I see it. And look, I hope to God I'm wrong, because I don't know if I can handle that, Joe. I don't know if I can handle like us getting into almost November and it's like, well, the Titans are 1-8. This is fun. Let's continue to talk about this on a weekly basis.
No, I mean, if it gets, again, going back to Jeff's comment, I mean, it is one of the worst things, right? Is like not having, with all these football games, we wait all year for football. And then to think about weeks and weeks of having football but not caring because now you're just thinking about the next freaking draft. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. So hopefully we can avoid that.
I mean, it's like no one wants this, okay? But it's terrible but possible. Let's be real.
It's possible. There's no doubt about that. I mean, again, the other part of this is the AFC South, like Indy does have some talent throughout their roster. It's not like they're completely devoid of it. But I think they might get terrible quarterback play this year.
They'll
right?
split with like, Indy. They'll split.
Yeah, like yeah. I think they're terrible. Their quarterback play might just be awful this year. Jacksonville, they've got that new regime down there. Again, they've got talent. Like, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. out there catching the ball. Is this the year with Liam Cohen that Trevor Lawrence finally puts it together? But it's also Jacksonville. Like, they could be a total disaster out there. So, like, their own – even Houston. I have no idea what to expect from Houston this year. I think they're clearly the best of this bunch. But I don't know what that means in the big picture for them. So, I think there is a lot of unknown about this division specifically heading into the year.
Yeah, it's not good. So, I mean, that's great. And the Titans – I think could definitely go like 3-3 in the division. My gosh, they might even be able to go 4-2. But at the same time, the Titans are a big part of the division being bad. And yeah, like I mean, I can buy Jacksonville. They're talking about being this totally new look power running team. Liam Cohen, that's a big thing he did, and you know, with the Bucs. And you know, I still like Trevor Lawrence. I think we've discarded him, but he's like still fine. Like I still like feel better about right now Trevor Lawrence quarterback in a game for me than Cam Ward, right? Like I've seen Trevor Lawrence win a playoff game. And the Colts have some talent, so you know, it could be an advantage. It's one of the divisions you'd pick to be in this league over yep. most of them, but the Titans are also a big part of why it's buns.
That is correct. One texter says, does Callahan get fired if they lose to the Patriots and either New Orleans or Cleveland? By the way, 3-14 for me. I don't know. I don't know that the games that they lose specifically, like the opponent, really matters other than maybe Vrabel. Like, I'm hoping that she can overcome that a little bit if they lose to Vrabel and the Patriots and try to keep the big picture in mind. But, like, I will say, Joe, if it goes the way that I just said, and they're like 1-9 at some point, it's going to be hard to look at a whole lot of positives at that point. Like I doubt that Cam Ward is out there throwing for 350 a game, and they're 1-9 as the end result.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to know until you see it, but I would probably guess. You know, like if he's progressing, if he's then I think, like someone said earlier, like you might count on a couple wins out of that, right? Like if he's playing well, you know, you'd think that would be a fourth quarter drive here or there. So, but you know, the whole firing, like I know everybody's going to talk about that, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you no way. But also, like Amy Armstrong does know what everybody's been saying about her, right? About how quickly she fires everybody. Plus, I mean, if you're her, aren't you giving Vrabel a ton of satisfaction by being that reactionary to a loss to him? You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, isn't that like the ultimate, like, just dunk on you to make it even worse if you then fire the coach you replaced him with?
Yeah. I mean, you would think, again, yeah, I leave the door open for all of these things. Derek is very upset we're not talking about hockey. Says, you know, maybe we'll actually start talking about hockey then if the Titans suck. Because I guess we're supposed to be talking about hockey in late August, early September when there's nothing going on in hockey.
There's some type training rookie something or other coming up soon, right?
There's rookie camp next week.
Booyah, there's our hockey talk.
There you go.
I very much admire your boldness, Derek, on NFL opening day of saying that. I got to tip the cap to you on that one, buddy.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about hockey in late August, early September for a team that was
also not good.
Third worst in the league last year. Let's do that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous. Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so my best, I don't think I'm going to steal anything you guys would do. I'm going to reference it earlier in the week, but again, Larry Pickett Jr., Army sophomore safety, just got a pretty amazing act of bravery to save a guy from a car that was about to burst into flames. He and his dad both did it. Pretty awesome, tough opening game for Army, but pretty amazing act of heroism there from him. So that's my best. My worst, I'm probably taking something that maybe one of you might have done, but I gotta have a tie between Chapel Bill and Phelan Kalen. Just brutal. For North
Carolina.
Anything
else you want to throw in there? You want to take all of them?
Let's see. Deion's clock management, Dabo. Yeah, sorry, but it's just, I had to tie. They got a tie, man. You know, like it, for different situations, way more panic, I think, in Tuscaloosa, but also a little bit of, oh my goodness, have we been sold a bill of goods, pun intended, from North Carolina fans.
Very nice. Very nice. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay. Well, I mean, the best low hanging fruit is, you know, the kickoff tonight. Just the start of NFL season.
Yep.
I mean, let's get her going, man. I mean, we got football. I mean, finally. I know college. So we got all this. It should be a fun weekend. We got what? Tonight, Friday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
So, although I guess this is the last Friday game for a while. I saw a story about that. But, yep. Yeah, best. I'm going to just go easy one with here, NFL kickoff for tonight. And worst, I got a couple here. I'll try not to steal all of them. What about this guy who snatched the hat at the U.S. Open from the kid? I don't know many people saw that, but apparently, yeah, fan took a player's hat who was trying to give it to a kid, and this other old man stole it from him. Pretty bad.
The adults that take like the hats and like in baseball big time where we're taking like the baseballs away from children. It's like, what are you guys doing?
So that was not good. And then I don't know how many people saw this. This is a funny one. The Oregon Duck mascot running out on the field in the tunnel. lost his head, had to run back. Other guy picked it up, sprinted back into the tunnel with him. Hilarious. So that'll be my two worst.
That's very good. Very good. My best thing in sports, the message boards for Alabama football fans are just out of control right now. And Message Board Geniuses, our favorite Twitter account, having a lot of fun with it. You know, there's this dude that's thrown out this in this rumor. And he says, quote, "I don't ever post on this forum, but just found out from an extremely reliable source what some of the players did Friday night. Several of the players were ordering Grubhub, and girls were coming into their room at 2 a.m. the night before the game. They were partying the night before the game. This source comes from one of the top two donors. Kind of explains why they played so slow and, like Herb Street said, lethargic." This is the Bama message board. It's going crazy right now, Joe.
Great post. A lot of misspellings in that post, too.
A lot of them. Yep.
By the way, like, so if they actually were having parties and like having girls in the room at 2 a.m., who gives a crap that they got Grubhub too? You know what I mean? Like, why does that matter?
That was what he listed first. He's like, Grubhub and girls.
They had a snack at midnight. I mean, what?
They brought in some Chipotle at midnight up there. Good stuff.
Too much ranch.
Let me tell you, I need more of the downfall of Alabama football.
Put really it in just our veins.
I mean, obviously because I hate them, but really just mainly because of the fan base and their reaction to it. It's been amazing the last few days. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it out there for these people.
More to come.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully more to come. My worst thing in sports, I got to say, Dabo and Clemson, you had it right there at home. It's a home game for you. Everybody's hyping you up, talking about how Clemson's back and Dabo's figured this NIL stuff out and they're a national title contender. And then you go out there and you lose to LSU at home. Not that it's the end of the world and not that they can't still make the college football playoff. But, Joe, I did watch them play and think to myself, yeah, I think they're good. I don't think that they're great. And I don't think that they're going to be a team that is actually competing for a national championship this year. That's just me.
Yeah, and again, too much, a little bit too much, you know. Dabo was right. Yeah. Dabo was right all along. No, it's okay. Go ahead and get in the portal. Get some people. I guess they did sign like three kids out of the portal, but they're not even playing. So get with the times, Dabo.
We'll see how it goes for them. We'll see. I'm sure that, you know, I haven't looked at their schedule, what's coming up for them soon, but I'm sure that there's a few cupcakes coming up and K-Klubnik's going to look great. So maybe the conversation about him being the number one overall pick kickstarts again.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it did get probably a little bit out of hand last year. I got to read William from Madison. He says the best is South End Zone at First Bank Stadium. The worst is Billy Derrick, who covers Vandy on 24/7, thought Enter Sandman was sung by Van Halen. Billy, you got to get called out for that one, bro.
Billy, come on, man.
Oh, my goodness. Van Halen.
Great Van Halen song. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Is that? Oh, no, it's Metallica. For a minute, I thought it was Metallica and Van Halen that Beavis and Butthead wore those two, but it's Metallica and AC/DC, right?
Yeah. Van Halen combination of Jump and Enter Sandman, you know, that collab they do. Good stuff out there.
I mean, I think there might have been a Monsters of Rock tour with both of them on it, but yeah, that's a pretty big difference between those bands, man. Good call out.
Yeah, that's good stuff there. We're going to get into Virginia Tech and Enter Sandman here in just a few minutes on the program as well. A big game for Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Also, a nominee for worst things in sports, Joe, that we will also get to in the next hour, the Steve Ballmer, Kawhi Leonard Clippers stuff that Pablo Torre came out with yesterday. Again, we'll get into bigger detail about this, but man, wild stuff in the NBA going on right now.
Yeah, that would have been an easy one, knowing we have that segment, you know, hold off on it. But, yeah, that's that one is wild. I always wonder, we'll talk about it, but I always wonder, like, how often and slash if things like that happen in pro sports, you know? There's already so much money, but some of these guys just, I mean, they just have more than they can possibly know what to do with.
Yeah. David in Arkansas looking ahead to his Razorbacks beating down Butch says, my best is that the Razorbacks play the Arkansas State Red Wolves for the first time in history this weekend. As a Hogs fan, I hope we smash them. This is the game Red Wolves fans have been begging for years, and I live where Red Wolves fans are, and their fans can be annoying. Big game for Butch this weekend, Joe.
Don't lose, David. You can't lose. You can't lose to Arkansas State, man. That is very interesting. Like they've never stooped to play, which I think is so weak of Arkansas. I mean, I hate that stuff, you know. You play all these other like teams of the similar level and you won't touch like the team in your state where you could actually help a school in your state.
Yeah.
So, I'm rooting for Butch, frankly. Sorry, David, but I don't like that, but it is interesting to hear that the Red Wolves fans might be a little bit too confident. But, you know, when you got Butch as your coach.
Well, it's hard not to have confidence. By the way, since Belichick got killed the other night, you know, a bunch of Tennessee fans have found the picture of, I guess, Belichick showing up to a Saban practice one day, and he was over there talking to Butch, and somebody took a photo of it, and Belichick looks like he has no interest whatsoever in what Butch Jones is talking about. And they're putting out, like, all the – like, one of them I saw yesterday was – hey, Bill, have you ever thought about benching your most talented running back and playing somebody else? And it was good stuff. Good stuff there from Ball Twitter.
I remember that picture. Oh, my gosh.
Really good stuff.
Yeah. Butch might have a team, though, man.
We'll see.
Maybe Butch is winding his way back toward the Power Four.
By the way, one best and worst that we forgot to mention. Austin Peay, the best. MTSU, the worst from that game over the weekend.
That's a clear, that's an absolute clear, both together at one time. And David did see Van Halen, Metallica, Monsters of Rock 1988. Missed it, man, but sounds awesome.
I bet it was good. I bet it was good.
That was unfortunately no David Lee Roth. It was Sammy Hagar.
All separate bands,
Van Hagar.
Too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Van Hagar was just not nearly as good as actual Van Halen with David
Lee Roth. I'm just saying, you know, Van Halen, Metallica, not the same thing. Just if people out there listening.
Yes.
are confused by.
Very different. Very different.
Big game for Vanderbilt coming up this weekend against Virginia Tech. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.